This is M.R. Rangaswamy with Indie Diaspora. Today we're with Rucha Humna Badkar. She's known for her work with the acclaimed Indian filmmaker Nagesh Kukunur. As an assistant director and art director, she was instrumental in working on several indie hits like Hyderabad Blues, Rockford, and Bollywood Calling. Her directorial debut was a short film called The Arranged Marriage. Maybe we can talk to her about that a bit later. It played at festivals in 2012, and it was selected by the Beyond Bollywood exhibit at the Smithsonian. Her first feature film is called For Here or to Go. In addition, she's also written a debut novel called Dance of the Fireflies, which was based on the lives of India's street children. It got critical acclaim. She's also written and directed three English language plays and won the Young Achievers Award. Rucha actually is a fellow resident of mine in San Francisco. She went to the San Francisco School of Digital Filmmaking, and she also has a master's from Carnegie Mellon. Unusual background, she's worked as a user experience designer at eBay and StubHub, and she is also a key part of the Bay Area filmmaking community. So, Rucha, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Mr. Rangaswamy. It's a pleasure to be on this show, and I'm really excited.
Oh, please, just call me MR. Everybody just calls me MR for short.
All right.
So that you're originally from Hyderabad. So what brought you to the U.S.? Tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, I am born and raised in Hyderabad, and I think right after graduation, which is actually the time Hyderabad Blues was also what I worked on, I was a little lost, like I think people at that age trying to figure out what you want to do with your life, and I wanted to travel abroad, and I thought going to study would be a good idea. So I did want to pursue a master's, and I thought it would be in communications or media, and I ended up applying for a program at Carnegie Mellon University called the Masters in Design and Information. And it was a very new program, and because CMU is known to be on the cutting edge of technology and discovering new frontiers, they had just started understanding what user experience design meant and how that really would apply to the World Wide Web. And when I got there, I realized that's what it was about and not really media and communications. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit of an eye-opener for me, but honestly, in retrospect, it's probably one of the best things that happened to me in my life. It was an excellent program. CMU is very interdisciplinary in nature, and the opportunities I got after that working at eBay and StubHub, and I still continue to consult with startups and also as an advisor for design. I love product and design, and it's just in my DNA. So I think it's a bit of a two hats I'm wearing right now as a designer and filmmaker, but that's what brought me here, and I stayed here. It was the big question always, do I stay here or go back? And I'm here because the opportunities have been great, and I'm still continuing to do really well. And I have a very strong network of friends and coworkers in the Silicon Valley and in other parts of the U.S. And so I think this has become my home now. And, of course, more importantly, 2 years back I got married, and my husband's American. So that sort of sealed the deal a bit.
So that was your arranged marriage?
That would be quite the unconventional arranged marriage.
So I guess you still consult in the Silicon Valley world. You know, I guess that kind of pays for your way to stay in the celluloid space.
Yes, absolutely. Independent filmmaking is tough, but it is very rewarding. And I think because of the digital age of technology, where you can now make films digitally, the cost of making a film has really gone down. I'm not paying for 35mm film anymore. And so it has really opened up, it's sort of democratized the media process, I feel. Like it's become more open, and a lot of aspiring filmmakers and people who want to tell stories can really get out there and do it. It's still not cheap to make a feature film, by no means, but it's definitely reduced the overall costs. And independent filmmaking, it's tough. You can't make your bills by doing that. Not until you really hit it, I think, and people start paying you money for making your movies. And so I still enjoy doing design, and yes, it helps me pay my bills.
It's also good to know the Oscars were held this past week, and a whole bunch of movies that made it were not the mainstream movies this year, so there's hope.
Yes, absolutely. Very exciting.
So tell me a little bit, when you were in India, I guess you worked with Nagesh Kukunur. How did that come about, and how did you get involved with his whole production?
Yeah, I had my own theater group I started in undergrad in college in Hyderabad when I was studying at St. Francis. I actually used to be part of a theater group at my school, and that's really where it all started. My school was great. It's called NASA School in Hyderabad, and they had a theater club, which they took very seriously, and every year we had this big dramatic a performance we would put up in the city, which had over 1,000 people would come and watch. And I think that's where I got exposed to theater, exposed to acting, exposed to scripts and writing. And when I came to college, there wasn't something like that. And so I started my own theater club, and we did one maiden production, which I wrote and directed. And during that time, I was introduced to Nagesh through a friend who had done a workshop for our theater group. And he had just come back from the U.S. He was that was his, you know, time he was struggling to put Hyderabad Blues, the team together, and it was his dream to make it happen. And I was the first person who came on board to his team. And I think it was an incredible journey, just seeing the passion with which he worked. And I learned so much from him and the people I met. And I think that really opened my eyes to the fact that there's a different way of storytelling. I was only exposed to theater, and now I'd gotten exposed to film. And film is a very unique medium. I think it brings together everything that's possible in the world can actually fit in a film. All those innovations out there, all the technology, the art, it's just incredible. So I think it's a very unique experience to be part of a film.
Yeah, so how did it transition from plays to movies, right? I mean, it's how was that?
It was a lot. Yeah, it was a lot of learning by doing, honestly. Mm-hmm. I feel this is a very vocational kind of profession. You can go to film school, you can sit in classes, you can read all the literature, but you only get better at it by doing. And this sort of draws a parallel to even me being a designer, I think, that which is also a very vocational field. I got better at filmmaking by doing. I went and learned the trade by being on set, by doing every role on set. Like when I worked with Nagesh over his three films, I've been a production assistant who had to sweep the set on day one. I've worked as somebody who had to help with costumes because someone did show up. I ended up acting in a small role in Hyderabad Blues because we couldn't find an actor last minute. I did art direction for Bollywood Calling, which was like a big role for me at that point with his third film. So by wearing multiple hats, I think that's what helped me really learn the process and going sort of bottom to top. And even on times when we were shooting with Nagesh, he would sometimes be in the scene and the assistant director would be in the scene or away, and then he actually let me at one of the scenes make the call, you know. And I think those are the kind of opportunities that really give you the confidence of, I can make this happen if I, you got to just do it. There's really no other way, you just have to do it.
Yeah. So you seem like a very creative person. You've done plays. You also wrote a book called Dance of the Fireflies. How did you get inspired to do that? Tell us a little bit about that book, about the street children, and how that caught your attention.
Yeah, that's going to go back to my school days again in Hyderabad. Mm-hmm. NARSA School had a great program where all the kids, I was in my 7th or 8th grade, we had these social science sort of classes where we could go and do different programs. One of them was we adopted kids in slums, and we would be sort of their mentors and teachers over the years. So I was teaching kids in the slums in Hyderabad for the next, I think from my 8th grade to my 10th grade or even beyond, I can't remember exactly now. But that really opened my eyes and exposed us to a slice of India that, you know, we all talk about, we see about, but you don't really know the reality of the nitty-gritty till you are actually there. And I think what really touched me the most about those children that I worked with was youths. Yes, they are living in a lot of depravity. They are living with a lot of shortcomings and poverty. But their ability to still smile and be happy just reminds you that, you know, people are able to still find that joy in life. And it's not always sad. It's not always depressing. And I think that's what inspired me to kind of follow these stories, because street children are a very interesting sort of group of people. They're very fearless, if you think about it. Like girls and boys in India at the age starting 4 or 5 will actually run away from their homes because they don't think their parents can take care of them. And this is, I'm talking about some really poor kids from slums and villages across the world, country. And girls tend to run away less because of the threat of living on the street, and boys do more, but they still face a lot of exploitation, both sexually, emotionally, in every way possible. And there are shelter homes that take them in and try to rehabilitate them. But it's still a huge process for them to get over those traumas. So I got very interested in writing, and I worked at The Hindu. I interned there for a while, and as a freelancer, I did a feature article for them covering street kids in India and Pune, in Hyderabad and Pune, for that article as part of my research. And I think I don't think I at that point thought I'd make it into a book. If anything, I always thought I wanted to write a screenplay. But then I was at eBay. I was at a full-time job, and I didn't have the luxury of, you know, going off and making a film because I was on my H-1 visa, and we all know the restrictions that come with that.
Right.
And so what was originally going to probably screenplay turned into a book, and that's kind of how that book came about. And I'm actually really glad I did. And I think one of my focal points for that book was I didn't want to show the story of gloom and doom. I wanted to show the story of hope and joy and encouragement, and despite all the depravity, how, you know, human spirit can really elevate above that.
And so it looks like, what do you think the impact of the book has been for you? I mean, with the community and stuff. It really helped educate people on who these kids were, or it showed how badly they were treated. What was the focal point?
I think I tried to create a balance. I tried to create a balance of, yes, there are people out there who are abusing these children, but there are enough people out there who are also trying to help these children. So when the book launched, we had some nonprofits from Hyderabad who attended. We circulated the books among them, and, you know, I'm hoping more people have read it. So at the end of the day, it's a piece of literature that hopes to create a slice of life sort of view into the life of street kids in India, and to kind of show both sides of the coin and not just be like, yeah, if they're living on the streets, their life is always terrible, because a lot of kids you talk to are actually happy. They don't want to stay in the shelter homes. They keep running away to the next one. They're a floating population. It's a very unique sort of set of kids.
Amazing. Great book, Dance with the Fireflies. Let's talk a little bit about your arranged marriage. I mean, the movie. So what was? How did you think about that one, and how did it get into the Smithsonian Beyond Bollywood exhibit? That really the story of a real arranged marriage?
That was interesting. So I was at the San Francisco Digital Film School, and I had done that work, the course there, primarily to brush up my skills in filmmaking, because, you know, it had been a bit of a gap between working with Nagesh and coming back to filmmaking. So I really wanted to get back into understanding what are the new trends, the new technology, etc. And part of that program was to make a short film as your final project. And so I came up with a few topics which we would discuss in class, like here are my options for the subject of my short film. And overwhelmingly, the idea of a story around an arranged marriage won. So I thought that would be, you know, funny. It could have some drama. It could have some good dialogue. And it would be a very controlled environment. I could shoot a film in a restaurant. And that way, as a first time, you know, as directing something for the first time, it could be something I could attempt. And that's how arranged marriage came about. And I think I always, but I was not married at the time I did that. And I think some of it was probably influenced by the point of, you know, a lot of times parents calling and saying, hey, you should meet this person. And my friends have gone on really awkward dates and all of those things kind of that are part of your life at that point. So I think that culminated into a script. And I had also met Rishi, the writer of For Hero to Go, the other feature film I just did, by then. And we had started discussing some scenes. And, you know, we have a scene even in the film that's of a Bollywood speed dating sequence, which shows the awkwardness of people meeting. So I felt like this would be a nice sort of showcase of something very Indian. At the same time, it's like funny and can be enjoyed by everyone.
Fantastic. We are talking to Rucha Humna Badkar. Please don't go away. We'll be back after this short break. Hello, everyone. We're back with Indiaspora Blog Talk Radio. This is M.R. Rangaswamy. We're talking today to Rucha Humna Badkar, who's done a new movie here that's going to premiere at the CineQuest Festival in San Jose, California. First of all, give us the name of the movie and tell us how you did this one. And I've heard about this project for a while, and we never connected, but I know you were looking for people here. You're looking for money. You're looking for all kinds of things. Just take us through the process.
Yeah, the film is called For Hero to Go, and it has been honestly a life-altering journey. I've lived this film for the last 2 years, and it's been incredible. I met the writer Rishi Bhulavadikar 2.5 years back at Crossroads Cafe in San Francisco. He did a reading of the script, and it just grabbed me because it was the life that I'd lived. It was the life almost all of us in the Silicon Valley as immigrants or in the U.S. Mm-hmm. or anywhere in the world have lived who've left home. And that's what resonated with me, the universality of the topic and the story. So it talks about the focus is on the lead actor, which is played by Ali Fazal, who's trying to make his dreams come true in the Silicon Valley. He's on an H-1 visa, and his visa is running out, but he has dreams to become a startup entrepreneur, and how that forces a lot of chain reactions around him and how he kind of deals with it, how he goes through it. And then you have these subplots of other characters in his life, his roommates, played by Omi Vaidya, who's also been in Three Idiots, and Amitosh Nagpal, who was in Besharam. And, you know, you see the bonding over roommates, you see the situations which all of us have lived when we've come here, mm-hmm. and their stories and how it reveals itself. And so I was very inspired by the story, and I felt like if we don't tell our stories, no one else will. And so I decided that I wanted to direct a film. I always thought I'd do it. It would be my own script, but then when I read the script, it just blew me away. So I said, I'm going to do it. And that's how it started. And to talk about how this all came together, it really was a lot of hard work and long hours. As any independent filmmaker will probably vouch for it, it takes a lot to convince people to give you money to make something happen. And film is probably considered the most risky investment by most people.
Right.
So we kind of, we literally went looking for the needle in the haystack. We talked to as many people who would listen to us and listen to our pitch. And we've had some fantastic mentors, right from Raghu Mendu, who introduced me to a lot of people, and through him I met Jayan Ramankutty, and then I've had Kumar Goel. There's a lot of Bay Area people who came together to make this film happen, and I've been overwhelmed and honestly humbled by the Indian community that has come forward and helped this project and opened their hearts. People let us shoot at their locations, their houses. You know, they've given us transportation. They've given Ashwini from Madhuban catered food for us on set every day. And just the incredible talent that came to this project is overwhelming for a first-time director, because these are established Bollywood actors. And it's a testament to the script, the characters, and it just shows you when an artist cares about art and what they're doing, it's not always about the money. It's about the final product and what their character is going to be and what the story is about. And so, you know, we did a lot of fundraising. We found people who believed in us, believed in the project. We requested a lot of people to sort of step in and help tell the story, because it's truly our story. It's the story of, do I want to live here? Do I want to go back? What does it mean to have a certain visa, and how, you know, your lens of how you live in the U.S. changes based on the visa status you hold, and that's what this movie communicates, like your temporary relationships or even how people perceive you, or do I buy furniture? I have some, you know, there are stories about people who don't buy furniture. They'll buy a fancy car, but they won't buy furniture because they don't know if they're going to live here forever.
Yeah.
And so the sense of temporariness, the sense of uncertainty and ambiguity that we live in is what this film tries to capture, but it gives a very comedic sort of light to the entire topic. It also addresses the lack of immigration reform, like the issues around laws and governance that are usually centered around debates at Washington, but this gives it a human touch. It gives it a face, and it talks about the story, and there is no better way than storytelling to communicate an idea and thought and to make that impactful and resonate with people. So we've even showed it to Forward.us, the advocacy group that's working on immigration reform, and they loved it and will be partnering with us because it truly resonates with what they're going for. So I feel like it's been a great journey. The fact is, as an independent filmmaker, what I've learned is find a story that resonates with people, with a community, because you can rally around that and get the support you need to get it made. Because if you're trying to do it on your own, like wanting to go to a studio and try to make it happen, it's really tough. So that's kind of my big takeaway. Find a story that's awesome, that people can relate to, that's very this is a generational story. It covers the lives. I think everybody in this who watches this film will identify in at least one or more characters. Like Rajat Kapoor plays the ultimate Silicon Valley tech entrepreneur who's achieved it all, somebody like you, Mr. MR, or Vinod Khosla, and, you know, the people who are giving back. In fact, if you watch our film, and I really hope you do, I think Rajat Kapoor's character is completely fashioned. When I read your biography, I was like, oh my God, this is our Vishwanath Prabhu. Like, that's his name in the movie, because you know, it shows the tech entrepreneur who's achieved it all in Silicon Valley, who's found this great success, and now he's also trying to give back to the country he came from, and he's trying to help that happen by setting up funds over there or starting companies over there, and that truly reflects what you're doing right now. So it's sort of art imitating life. And even if you look at the stories of entrepreneurs whose visas could not be extended, right, and they've gone back to India, and they are making the billion-dollar valuation startups happen there. We know the e-commerce sites that are doing that. And I think the world is taking notice. I think the U.S. is taking notice. And we have seen in recent times Obama talking about reforms and the executive actions he's put in place. But it's really about time that a lot more is done to change the situation. And I think the story is a great step forward. I hope it reaches a very large audience. My ultimate goal is, as a team, we really hope that we can get President Obama to watch this and screen it at the White House. I think it will really resonate with him and his staff, because the story is exactly what he's talking about.
You know, it's timely as well. There's a hit show, Silicon Valley, as you know, on HBO. And this could be the Indian version of it in a sense, some sense, but in a bigger sense, it's a much more serious movie as well. So I wish, and definitely, so your premiere is coming up pretty soon, right? So
yes, our premiere is on February 28th at 9:15 p.m., and folks can buy tickets at cinequest.org. We have additional show times on March 6th and 7th as well. So we are really hoping for a sold-out show. Please come see the hard work the whole team has done. It's been it's the Bay Area effort, honestly. We have local artists, we have talent, musicians, choreographer, dancers. We have everybody representing the Bay Area, and I think it's awesome. It's like the Indian community. It's a film that represents the Indian community that's lived here for so long
and achieved
so much.
Yeah, we'll all be there to support you, and it also sounds like a great movie. So
yeah, it is.
There.
Yeah.
How do you, as an independent filmmaker, get Rajit Kapoor and Omi Vaidya and all that in your movie? I mean, these guys are going to look at you and go, who is Richa? Right? How do you get these guys on board?
I know. That's always the question I get. So we've gone about our casting. So I've read, so Hitchcock said 70% of directing is casting. And I think that is so absolutely correct, true. The team of producers worked really hard to find the absolutely best cast we could. So we knew that Omi Vaidya would be great for a role. We just didn't know how we could get access to him. It turned out that he was visiting San Francisco and at the same Third Eye Film Festival that my short film played at. And so we met him there and pursued him for a while, saying, please read the script. It's awesome. We want you to do this. And it paid off. And with Rajit Kapoor, the writer, Rishi, his aunt is a great, very prolific, well-known actress in Bombay stage. She knows a lot of people there. So she helped make some introductions. And Rishi did a reading for Rajit Kapoor. And I spoke to him on the phone as well. And Rajit is like one of the most humble, amazing people I have ever met. So when I talked to him, he just said to me, you know, this sounds awesome. I love the spirit and vibe and the energy I'm getting from you guys and your team. I'm going to come do it. And I just was like stumped when I heard that on the phone. I was like, wow, he's actually going to show up. And he was great. Like, I would finish shoot and go to rehearse with him. He stayed right here in Los Altos with somebody we was very gracious to offer their home to him. And he would have chai and, like, snacks ready, saying, Rucha, you must be really tired. Let's first have some chai and then do the reading. I'm like, oh, my God, who are you? So he actually took care of a lot of us on set. So it's been a privilege, and I'm very humbled by the attitude and the, you know, everything, the passion and the drive these actors brought to set. Like, it really shows in the film.
That's awesome. You spent, what, 2+ years on this project, so the question is, well, what do you do to relax? I know you've done this; it's complete, except for the premiere. So how do you relax?
Yes, that's a tough one. My husband says I don't know how to. Like, if I sit around for a few hours, I'm wondering what to do next. But I'm a big fan of going to the beach and somewhere sunny, whether it's Goa or the Caribbean, and just sort of, you know, unplugging and just being there. I love doing that. I actually watching movies and shopping is another big relaxation for me. My mom calls it retail therapy because I go shopping.
So one last question for you. What's one thing about you that, you know, nobody knows, or even your close friends may not know about you?
Oh, wow, you're going to make me do that. All right, just because it's you.
Yeah.
I have written a second book, but I don't think it's good enough, so it's just staying in my drawer.
Oh, man. You better pull that out next, I guess, after this to relax. So, yeah. Richa, we wish you all the best with the movie. And, you know, we're all looking forward to the premiere and much success. And hopefully the president will see it and also it'll make an impact on the immigration reforms that can happen here in the future. The movie is For Here or To Go, and you can go to cinequest.org if you're in the Bay Area to attend one of the showings. Today's episode is produced by Monica Patel. Our theme music is by our very own Rina Ismail. The interlude music is by Jahan Shah. So long, everyone.
Thank you.